something that is written for us. Okay? We say something different. Okay. So destiny takes you in a different way. Not what you want. Okay. Anybody else? Nice points everybody is coming up with. Sorry? Final goal of the life. Okay. That's like a very visionary thought. Nice. Very deep understanding. Fantastic. Okay. Anybody else? Last one person. Okay. So various things, one can say that, okay, destiny means a fortune, luck, so many other ways people can speak that, everything is predestined, as you said. But let's understand little basic concepts by today's few minutes discussion. I will just begin with one story. In the era 600 to 500 BC, there lived one very great scholarly personality along with his wife on the bank of river Indus. And he was a very, very scholarly, well-renowned person. He was a mentor and people would come to take his advices. And soon, after some time, the wife delivered a beautiful son. And he was like, of course, anybody's house, a small child is like a center of attraction. Everybody would be like so charmed by his smile, by his talks, and slowly he grew up watching his parents, leading such a sattvic life, leading such a Vedic life. Now this gentleman had a friend who was a great astrologer. Very exciting. Everybody likes to meet the astrologer and show their palm and what is there in my future, my fate. So this person, he was very excited because he wanted to know that, such a great father's son must be having such a great fortune. So he visits this people's house and he was nicely welcomed, very courteously was offered prasadam and nice hospitality. And after having his meal, he sits and he calls this son, that, come beta, come next to me, sit here. And this boy was, of course, extremely well-mannered. He goes and sits beside his uncle. And the uncle asks, show me your right palm. And he's seeing, observing keenly, like as if, something very, very special. And suddenly, as he is doing a deep study of his palm, his joyful and a happy expression of his face turns into a kind of deep concern and worry. And the father is observing his expression that something is wrong, Something is not looking very nice. So he is asking that, my dear friend, can you please tell me what is this deep concern which is bothering you? I am seeing that you are not very comfortable, not very happy. So he is like taking a deep breath and he is telling that, it's really a matter of concern. He said, I'm afraid that you are such a scholarly personality and your son has no education line. The father was not ready to believe. He said, are you sure? Just maybe see it properly. So he's telling that, no, my dear friend, that was the reason I took so much time to analyze and study his hand, but I am 100% sure that there is no education line in this boy's hand. Now this boy was quite big enough. He was around 5 to 6 years old. And he was understanding everything, that there is such a serious discussion happening in the house. So he, out of curiosity, he asked uncle. He said, okay uncle, can you show me on my palm where is the education line supposed to be? So this person shows that, okay, this is the education line. Here it is supposed to be. This is the place where the education line lies in the palm. And this boy was like, okay. Then he walks out. The father thought that maybe he has gone out to play with his friends. And since previously people used to stay in a village type of setup, so he is going out and he is watching, he is observing some ladies have come to draw water from the well. So he just stood there. He was seeing that some ladies were pulling the bucket of water from the well, and he saw that the rope with which they were pulling the water was resting against a wooden log. And because of their repeated motion, the rope had made a deep impression on the wooden log, like a ridge, which served like a pulley. And then the rope was easily going up and down. And then this boy suddenly got inspired to do some creative thing. And then he came home. Then he is telling his uncle that, uncle, now see my palm. Now do you think I will have education? The uncle was feeling very sympathetic and very sorry for the child's, curiosity. Says, sure. And the father and the friend, both of them were surprised that what this boy had done. This boy had taken a sharp stone and he had drawn a line where this uncle had shown, and his palm was bleeding. These people were surprised that, why did you do like this? Said, no, I just felt that if the rope can become like a pulley, I will make my own line. And now you think I can study? And to all of us, great surprise, this person became a great Sanskrit grammar. He was known as a father of Sanskrit grammar, called Panini. As a very, very well-known personality, become a very, very great scholarly personality. So from this story, we may think that, okay, we can make our own destiny. But does that happen with everybody? Can everybody, just by their sheer hard work or determination, change their destiny? Do you think, is it true? Did you all like this story? So let's understand, what is destiny? As far as Oxford Dictionary states its meaning, it says that destiny is the events which will necessarily happen in a person's life, in a particular person's life, in future. Now, depending on what activities he does, the destiny will follow. There is a very famous story of King Bharat in Srimad Bhagavatam, who was a very, very great sage. All of you have heard about King Bharat? So he was a great sage, performing his nice Vedic spiritual sadhana. And at the end of his life, what happens? Suddenly he gets attracted to a baby deer who loses his mother, and he feels that he should be taking care of the child. Now, anybody who is in trouble and the desire to help that person or that living entity is an extremely good quality. But what happened? Just, it didn't end in taking care of a deer. Bharat Maharaj became so intimately attached to that deer that he thought that deer cannot survive without his intervention. Deer will not be able to eat, he'll not be able to sleep. He has to intervene, and what happens? That his destiny changes. At the end of his life, he thinks so much he was under the thought of deer that he takes the birth of a deer. And then as a deer, again, because of his good, powerful, spiritual sadhana that he had performed, he remembers his previous life and he perfects and ultimately attains, regains the third incarnation. He takes as a Jad Bharat and he completes his spiritual activity. So the destiny is basically, according to what you will do, necessarily the same kind of future events will happen. Okay? Another great personality had said that destiny is rehearsal of what we have done. Same thing. It is like, as you sow, so shall you reap. There was a very nice, actually I didn't have a time for the making a PowerPoint, but a beautiful video if you all want to see in a YouTube, where a small child having a sick mother and not financially doing very well is kind of, you know, going out that, okay, somehow if I can get a strip of medicine and some milk or some nourishing thing for my mother to become all right. So one gentleman, one couple, they somehow were compassionate and kind enough to give a glass of milk and a strip of medicine to this boy for his mother. And then what happens is this boy turns out to be a great, great doctor in future. And the gentleman who helped this boy, he happens to become so sick around 30, 35 years later, that he is admitted in the hospital under ICU and big medicines and ventilators and huge bill, medical bill. The wife is even tensed as to how they will pay the bill, because it's very difficult. I mean, they don't have them. As old people, sons normally don't even take care as far as their financial support is concerned. And they were very concerned that how they will pay the bill. But what happens? On the day of discharge, a receipt comes from the billing department saying that the bill has already been paid with a glass of milk 30 years back. So, very, very inspiring that you never know what kind gestures you do to anybody or any help to anyone, it will pay back to you in future. You will not be aware how, when, where, in what way. So this is how destiny functions. Now, what are the factors which will influence our destiny? If we study methodically, then the law book, which is Bhagavad Gita for this age. Everybody has Bhagavad Gita, a copy of Bhagavad Gita with them. Is there anybody who does not have? Please raise your hand. Then I would request you to take one today. Okay? It will really help you and to change your destiny too. So, Bhagavad Gita, which is the law book for this age, describes very nicely. It says that destiny of each individual is different and is dependent according to their prarabdha karma. One person said that depends on the karma. Very deep understanding. Now, what are karmas? Very famous. Everybody says, Bhagavad Gita says, karmaneva adhikaraste. One must do work. Work is worship. But what is the understanding of karma? So, Gita says very nicely that there are three types of karma. Karma means action, duties, doing some activity. So he's saying that what is karma? Karma is activity which is performed according to rules and regulation. Suppose Bhagavad Gita mentions that one should not kill a living entity. One should be compassionate. That means eating non-veg is not allowed. Now, if whoever is following or abiding the rules and regulation of that, will get the credit of following that karma. Second thing he is saying is vikarma, means people who are not able to live or abide the rules and regulations, means those who will not follow this. Then each and every action, like how Newton's law is, that each and every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Same thing happens with laws of karma. Same thing. So Manu Samhita says that anybody, suppose, who kills a cow, then what is the reaction to that? The reaction to that is that that living entity has to take the number of lives, number of births, as many as number of hairs on the cow's body. And in all those lifetimes, taking a birth as a cow, that person will be slaughtered. Imagine, such a heavy reaction. So, and not only this, if you read Garuda Puran, there is so many things given that if you do this action, this will be the reaction. If you do this, if you disrespect your parents, this will be the reaction. If you read, you will be so scared that I better follow and live with rules and regulations, because I don't want to have my future destiny as a mess. And there is third karma, which is called akarma. Now this is most important. Akarma is you choose any action which will neither bind you to enjoy your good karmas nor make you suffer your bad karmas. There is a wonderful story in Srimad Bhagavatam that there is one son of a maid servant. They were living in temple and they were very poor. The mother was widow. And what work they were doing was that every day, because being a temple, there would be devotees, Vaishnavas, visiting for kirtan, for satsang, for katha. And after that, they would have nice prasad. All of you are also going to have nice prasad after this. So, this mother and her son, they were engaged in doing cleaning work. They would, before everybody arrives, they would nicely clean the temple place for everybody to sit. And once they have prasad and everybody leaves, they will again make the temple very clean, wash the utensils, and whatever remnants of the foodstuffs are there, the mother would eat and the mother would give to her son. And what happens? This they kept on doing very happily. They were very satisfied doing this service. They never felt that, oh, such a bad luck that we are so poor, we don't live in opulently. They never felt like that. And what happens? What was the result? This son, in his next life, he gets promoted to becoming a son of Lord Brahma. He was none other than Narad Muni. So this is how the destiny changes. Narad Muni, he remained an eternal servant singing glories of Lord Vishnu and was moving around everywhere. So laws of karma, that is one thing which will influence our destiny. And second thing, after doing whatever action we have decided, the destiny is going to follow, right? So the second thing is reciprocation by the Supreme Lord or a higher power or a divinity or whatever you say. So again, our karma plus divinity will determine destiny. Clear? Neither only karma will decide destiny, nor only divinity. Means what we said, that apne naseeb mein hi aisa likha hai. No. Naseeb humne likha hai. Because of our previous karmas, we have written our own fortune. Suppose two children are born. One to a street side beggar and one in the palace. So, is it? What is it? It is their previous karma because of which they have taken such a destiny in this life. So, karma plus daiva or a higher power will determine the destiny. Now, how we can change our destiny? We have come here that we all want a brighter future, a better destiny, right? Nobody wants a ordinary life. So the first thing, how to change our destiny, is most important thing is the goal of our life. We have to first know what is the goal of our life. As a student, suppose you are exam going student, and then you say that, oh, my destiny is written that no education. So, I'm going to fail. So, what is the point in studying? Let me just enjoy. Be on mobile, WhatsApp. But that is not true. One has to do action. And what is the action as a student going for exam? That they have to work hard, study, appear for the exam, and then the second thing will be daiva. Don't be attached to the result. Yeah? The result may be that suppose the examiner who is checking the paper may have had a fight with his wife, then the result will differ. And if he is in a good mood, then the result will be different. So there is something which is not under your control. But things which are under your control, you must make sure that you do it with sincerity. Right? So, first thing is the goal. Now, we may have a short-term goal, long-term, and very, very long-term goal. One Mataji, one girl said that ultimately we should think about the highest goal in life for destiny. So, what is the highest goal? Anybody? Serve God, okay. Self-realization, fantastic, fantastic. Because we all know that, there are a lot of topics which are coming, which are actually the lectures by itself, but we will just covering them to the point, I can say. So, what is the ultimate goal? We all agree with life after death. One who is born is sure to die, and after death is sure to take birth again. Right? And there are totally 84 lakh species of life, including plants and aquatics and birds and animals and human beings. But only in human form of life do we have that much intelligence to know as to what is my goal. How will I achieve it? Animals don't have that intelligence. Suppose there is a Ekadashi, and the cat is going and she will see a rat. Will she think, "Arre, aaj Ekadashi hai, rat nahi kha sakta." No. And they don't even have to pay the laws of karma. The karmic reactions are not meant for animals. They are only for human species of life. Anybody has any confusion, you can stop me to ask. Otherwise, I assume that everybody is with me and you all are with me. So, the short-term goal would be, okay, I want to make my education. Then maybe I want to find a suitable partner, get married. I want to work. I want to be a working person. I want to be a housewife. I want to do both. These are like little short-term or short-term going to long-term. But very, very long-term goal is that I want to be out of this cycle of birth and death. I don't want to take any more birth in this material world, having to have a better or a good or a bad future. I want to be out of this cycle of birth and death. And that happens as many times as you choose a karma. If you choose actions which will not bind you to the enjoyment or the suffering, that many times you are more likely to get out of the cycle of birth and death. Fine? So the goal, second thing is free will. All of us have free will. All of you have come here for Chetna. By force or by your choice? I don't think Akshata has forced anybody. Nahi aayenge to maar padegi. No. You all have come by your free will. So free will is very important. In our life, each episodes, incidences and unlimited times, we will be at crossroads where we will be left to ourselves. To go right, to go left, to go straight. Basically, make your choice yourself. Use your free will. In Ramayana, when Ram, Lakshman and Sita, they was living in Panchavati. And Ram went to get golden deer, kill Marichi. And that time what happens? That Marichi, because he was a demon, he basically disguises in a voice. That, please, Lakshman, please save me. In Ram's voice, he screams like that. And Sita gets very, very concerned. She pushes Lakshman, actually. Lakshman is trying to tell her that, Mother Sita, don't worry. Our Lord Ram will never be in danger. Nothing can go wrong with him. And I have been ordered by him to take care of you. So I cannot leave you and go. But somehow speaking such words, throwing a dirt on Lakshman's character, Sita actually pushes Lakshman. Okay, no, you go. You go to help your brother Ram. So what Lakshman does? He draws a Lakshman Rekha. And he says that inside this line, you will be completely safe. Nothing will go wrong. And then he leaves. But what happens? As soon as he goes, Ravana is disguises himself as a sage and he comes. Now, Sita had a free will. If she would not have crossed the line, she had a different destiny. But what she did? She was so compassionate towards the sadhus and she couldn't stop giving him alms. So she crossed the line to give him some fruits and Ravana, he showed his colors. The destiny was different, that she was kidnapped. And the whole Ramayana manifested after that. Similarly, even in Mahabharata, Vidura, who was a younger brother of King Dhritarashtra, at multiple times, he kept on telling his brother that, please, the major war will kill millions and crores. Just give 5 simple villages for Pandavas to rule. That's what is the demand. That's all what they want. They are happy, they are satisfied to fulfill their Kshatriya duty to just rule 5 villages. So that much you explain, Duryodhan. But Dhritarashtra could not. He could not. I mean, he as a king would have very well told Duryodhan that this is my order. Rest of the entire kingdom is yours and these 5 villages are Pandavas. But he did not. And the destiny turned into such a bad shape that all the Kauravas died in Mahabharata war. Krishna also, after speaking the entire Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, in the end, he explains him everything. That who are we? We are not this body. We are the spirit soul. How to achieve the goal? What are the different yogic processes? Dhyana yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga. Full Bhagavad Gita he explains. But in the end, he tells Arjuna one thing. He says, Arjuna, now I have explained to you everything. Now it is your free will. Do as you like. So free will is very important. We all have our free will, and the statement that we make that everything is predestined is only, it is not predestined, but only once we use our free will, then the destiny happens accordingly. The way we use our free will, our destiny will be decided. Clear? So our free will and our choices, or the ability to take decisions. Ability to take decisions. Sometimes it happens that different, all the modes of material nature, all these medias and everything are bombarding us so much that it is very difficult to take right decision. Once, just 2 days back, I read one joke, WhatsApp joke, where one girl is asking a mother that, "Mama, do you think I can become successful?" And the mother is telling that, "First get a big stone and break your smartphone." Because as long as you are with this smartphone, I find a very dark future in you. Why? Because it is very difficult. We get so carried away and so influenced, you just can't put the phone aside. Continuously, you travel in train, even devotees, I feel non-stop people like to, every 5 minutes, koi message aaya, kuch aaya, kuch dekhna hai, kuch forward karna hai, non-stop, it's just a habit. In fact, many places, the psychiatrist has started opening a clinic actually, that this has become like a addictive disease, surfing phone. Sir, being on phone, being on WhatsApp. So making right choices always is a great challenge. Is a great challenge. And how one can make right choices? How one can make right choices? Under proper guidance. And more than a guidance, with a good company. Guidance you will get. Suppose all of us have heard today. I have been benefited by speaking, and all of you will get benefit, hopefully, by listening. So that guidance, because I have taken guidance by my seniors and I am sharing with you. So you will also get the guidance. But how? By the time the next Chetna comes, maybe everybody will forget. So with a constant good company, or friends and association, one will get the courage to make right decisions. One will have courage to make right decisions. Once there was a scientist who was performing an experiment with a rat. Now he had taken a small cage kind of a thing, where he had 2 buttons. Connected electronically. If the rat presses 1 button, the bread will come, and if he presses another button, the stone will fall on him. So the whole day he would just, with trial and error, find out that which button gives him bread and which button gives him stone. So finally, like before the night happens, he decides, okay, the left side button is going to give me bread and the right side button is going to give me stone. So next day morning, what the scientist would do, in the night he would exchange the wires. So next day when he would press the left button, the stone will have fall. And then again that day he will struggle. Okay, no, I made a mistake, I think. The right button gives me bread and the left button gives me stone. And then again the scientist would rechange the wires. And this fellow will, like, he'll be so confused. No, left button, I was sure only, left button only gives me bread. So like this fellow, the whole day he would just keep struggling as to which button gives him bread and which button he wants to avoid to get the stone. And after 1 month, what the scientist does? He opens the door of the cage. But to his surprise, this rat doesn't go out. he is still struggling which button gives bread and which buttons he should avoid to not get hurt by the stone. We may laugh that such a funny thing, but actually all of us are in a cage like this. We are struggling what things will give us happiness and what things are going to give us misery, which we want to avoid. So the right from morning to night, then the next day, then the next day, the same chakra view. We all are just kind of entangled in a prison, which is like a golden chained prison of this material world. And the spiritual leaders, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita that here, this is the way to come out of this material world. Doing a process of bhakti yoga, you can come out of the material prison of material world. You don't have to work for happiness and avoid misery and make your life so stressful like a rat. So, but what happens now? We have to use free will, make a right choice. Now, you know that, okay, this is right for my life. But to make that change, one has to have a courage. It is very difficult. Do we all agree to that? Because we are so used to leading a particular, comfortable, stereotype life that we feel scared for a change. I know so many devotee girls, and even outside, my cousins and few friends, the girls are unmarried till 40. Why? Because at the time when they were supposed to get married, they were very scared. That, arey, nahi, nahi, we don't know what kind of a boy he will be, whether will I be able to adjust. That fear of change. Will I be able to lead a different lifestyle with different people? And now they realize that what mistakes they have made, but the destiny they have only decided. Because they did not choose at the right time, their destiny is not going to support. They cannot say that, oh, mere naseeb mein nahi hai. Because you were supposed to make a decision at the right time. Everything will happen like that. So many incidences. Now, so many people, if they have not studied when they were supposed to study, and then at the age of 40, 45, they will feel that I wish I could have, I was good at studies and I just got distracted due to my friends or my poor company, and I wish I could have done. But now, at 45, you can't go to school, 11th standard. No. So, it's just that you repent. So, whatever few episodes have happened in our life, I'm sure I also have some things to repent that I wish I would have done this or that in previous life. And all of you also must be having such memories or such episodes in your life that you wish you could have done the right thing at the right time. But at least from now, in future, at least let us now make a right choices so that after 10 years, we again are not with the same moroseness that, oh, I wish. Oh, Chetna ka class sunke thoda karna chahiye tha. Change. And same thing applies to me. I am speaking, I hope I also should be following that. So, courage to change. There's a very small, nice story. One washerman is taking a donkey. And suddenly what happens? The donkey falls in a deep khadda. And this washerman with his full strength is trying to pull the donkey up. But he was not able to. When the donkey was too heavy. And then he is feeling that he didn't have any help. And what he will do? Now, he said, okay, now I think I will bury this donkey alive. What other choice I have? So what he starts doing, he starts getting a soil and he throws on the donkey's back because donkey is in the deep ditch, khadde. And this donkey, as soon as he feels some load on his back, he shakes off his back. So all that soil, it falls down and it becomes like a step. So he climbs on that step. And every time the washerman kept on throwing the soil, he shakes off his shoulder, his back, and he climbs up. He climbs up. And soon he was up on the ground, started grazing the green pasture. So what this illustrates, that when we make an effort to change, come out of our comfort zone, it will not be easy. There will be difficulties. What we should do? Just shake off those difficulties. Just have a patience that no, I can step up and cross this challenge one after the other. And especially when you do it in a company, in an association, it is much, much easier. Our founder, Acharya of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada, last year we celebrated his 50th anniversary of establishment of ISKCON. What he did, came out of his comfort zone. At the age of 70, it is not a joke. All our grandparents who are living 70, they like their particular space, they like their particular, if they would want to watch some very old, Dilip Kumar's song or something, and the grandchildren will say, "Arey, kya dadaji, boring sunte ho aap." So it's so difficult. I mean, they cannot gel with the so many generation gap or so many different situations in the house. But Srila Prabhupada, at the age of 70, what did he do? He left his comfort zone. He was happily living in Vrindavan temple and he was writing Srimad Bhagavatam. He was translating it from Sanskrit language to English. But he left that comfort zone, went abroad. Our grandparents find so difficult to gel with their own sons. Forget about the grandsons. But here is Srila Prabhupada, who is going across to the West, being so compassionate, accommodative, and giving them a chance to change their destiny. So if we take a small step to come out of our comfort zone, whatever few 2-3 people are close to us under our influence, we can help them change their destiny. Srila Prabhupada, he in the night slept only for 3 hours and translated all these books. What is our duty? If we read those books, our intelligence will get sharpened, and that will help us to make right decision, to use our free will correctly, and to have a courage to change. There is a small this thing, that one person was driving and he saw an elephant tied with a small rope on his front leg. And he was wondering that how come elephant is just standing like this, huge elephant. So he, out of curiosity, asked the trainer that how come this elephant is tied with such a small rope? Elephants are so powerful. They have a capacity to uproot the entire tree. So small rope, they can easily tear off. But this trainer told that when he was a baby elephant, he tried their front leg with a small rope. And they tried to come out of it, but they are not able to. So what happens? They get convinced with their intelligence that, oh, this is not my cup of tea. That small failure convinces them that they cannot do this. And then the trainer is very peaceful because the elephant stays at one place. So actually what happens? It is said that failure is a stepping stone to success. Right? If you fail, then there are all the chances that next time you will not make that mistake and you will be more successful. The unlimited example. Like we have one great scientist, Thomas Alva Edison, who invented bulb. And so many people discouraged him that, "Arey, kya? Every time it is not working out and why you are wasting your time and energy?" But he was so enthusiastic. He said, "Okay, now I know that 800 times this method does not work. So I have to see now which the other method works." And finally, he was successful in inventing the bulb. So as we do this courage to change, this will help in shaping our destiny in future. Finally, I would like to share one real life story of one devotee, Mataji. Since it is a ladies gathering, she was from Pune, a wonderful mother. Her husband was a school teacher, later on became a principal, with a three illustrious sons. Her name is Supriya Devi Dasi. These three illustrious sons were very, very well qualified and they were very successful, having a promising career ahead. And somehow they got like this, how you came for Chetna, they came in some association of the Brahmacharis. And they felt interested, that, wow, this is wonderful, you know. Rather than leading such an ordinary life that, okay, you become a great engineer or MBAs and get married and earn lot of money, have a palace, have a car, and then die. Have children. I mean, they felt that it was such an ordinary life. So he did become very inquisitive. And all these three boys started taking interest in Krishna consciousness. Slowly, slowly, they started influencing the parents as well. And the mother was quite happy that, okay, they are not taking shelter of alcohol and smoking and pubs and girls, but they are getting into some nice association. After some time, these two brothers became so sincere in Krishna consciousness that they decided to give up their career. They said, "No, full time we want to dedicate for this mission itself." And of course, the mother was a little taken back. Each mother has her own ambition and desire that, oh, you know, my son should be like this and like that, and maybe he will get married and bahu aayegi ghar mein, whatever. So she was little kind of upset, but then she gave her blessings that, okay, full blessings and you go ahead. Soon after some time, she was diagnosed with a breast cancer. Now, it was very, very widespread and she had tremendous pain. She underwent a major surgery, but still nothing could have been done. The doctors actually said that she has only 7 months to live. And the pain was so excruciating that at times she actually thought of giving her life. She would think that better I only kill myself rather than this cancer killing me, poking me million times in a day and till I die for 7 months. So she was getting these suicidal tendencies because of excruciating pain. And then, of course, the sons came and she was actually sharing her heart as a mother with both the sons. And the sons, they explained to her very nicely. She said, "Mother, you have accepted this process of Krishna consciousness and ending your life like a suicide is not going to end your suffering. Then you will have to suffer your next life, whatever quota is remaining. So to make your destiny great, come out of this suffering forever. So just engage your mind into chanting and reading books and hearing some classes and having some satsang and kirtan. And I am sure your pain, you will feel that inner happy experience and your pain will reduce." And this mother actually, very sincerely, because she, by now she knew that her sons were gem of a people, loved by everybody in temple. So she followed them. And then she got that such inner desire, a strong desire. She again called her sons. She said, see, Parikshit Maharaj, when he got a curse, he had 7 days to live. And he prepared for his death in 7 days. But I have 7 months. And I want to also prepare following in his footsteps. So I would like to shift and stay in temple. Can you please make arrangement for me? Now it is very difficult. Temple is not like a guest house, you know, where anybody whoever desires can be accommodated. But somehow, because showing that her sons were so dedicated to the mission, the authorities in the temple, they actually took out a small room for her to live. And then she started coming for darshan in front of the deities, in front of the Lord, started doing small time seva, making a garland or something. And her pain actually, she started feeling improvement in her health, which is medical science probably may not be able to explain this. Then how she started becoming better. And since she started becoming better, she thought that now she will shift home. Because it is not right that you are nice and healthy and still you are, you know, taking advantage of using a temple space. So she goes home. And then again within a week's time, her all the problems started happening. Severe pain, excruciating pain, not able to tolerate at all. So again with a utter helplessness, she approaches the authorities. Please, I am so sorry. I know that I am causing inconveniences to everybody, but please, please allow me to live in temple. So again, she shifts back to the temple. And then she had a strong desire that I also want to do preaching. I want to preach this message that how this is the only way to make your life's ultimate goal, ultimate destiny successful. So all the different relatives and friends and family members and whoever came to meet her, everybody had to go to temple to meet her because she was not living in the house. So they would by force visit the temple, see the Lord's darshan, and then she would say everybody that, okay, if you love me, you have any feelings for me, then I want you to chant one round of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And thus, she practically converted all of them to start chanting Hare Krishna in a few months' time. And then in the temple in Pune, they had this young yoga retreat program where for 2 days, like young college boys, they stay and they experience what actually temple life is all about. So these boys, they came for 2 days, and that was the day when she was actually very bad and about to leave her body. So around 100 to 150 of them, the authorities got all of them that, see, you know, just this one more experience all those boys also wanted to have, that how person leaves her body. And she, even at the time of leaving her body, she was kind of preaching to those 150 boys that don't be fearful. If you take shelter of Krishna, you will, all that insecurity and fear what one gets at the time of death. Death is the ultimate fear actually. All of us get scared. But she was preaching to those boys that how if one takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a Vaishnavas and a devotee's satsang, then one can easily surpass that fear of death and attain their final destiny, which is at the shelter of lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna, thank you all very much for your patient listening. And anybody has any questions, any query, then I'll be happy to answer. This is a real story that Mataji in Pune, she left her body in 2003, but there was a big article which came and I just happened to read it, so I thought it is wonderful to share with everybody. that these are the real examples actually give us a hope. Right? When we study scriptures, then we feel that, oh, unka time mein toh alag tha, you know, they all were very strong minded. But no, when we see that person like you and me and our type of mindset is taking a courage to make a change in their life and adapts to a different lifestyle to make their destiny better, then it is very hope giving. Very, very hope giving. Kirtan?
Anyone has any doubt or comments? Any comments?
Mataji, I just wanted to ask you about the way you told about just attain the goal or achieve it, but sometimes goal literally changes. Literally, what happens in my life, like just a store. I will tell you that I wanted to become a lawyer in my life. Actually, I am doing masters from Xavier's College in Archaeology, Ancient Indian Culture and Archaeology. So actually, my dream was when I pass out 12 that I want to become a lawyer. But after the graduation, due to just, you know, percentage, I was not able to take the admissions. And literally, the principal had tell me, if you want to go in the Kuda in South Maharashtra and do the lawyer, I will not give the admissions. The way he did, I was very bad at that time. But I got a job as in the classes and I started teaching over there. But literally from that time, you know, interest became so in teaching the children that I started loving, and literally the way changes that I started teaching now. So it happened generally what you said. So I just want to share and ask you.
Yes, yes. It's very true. Sometimes, you know, we decide that we want something, but what is good for us happens. There's one, I don't know, I have shared this with you all before. One doctor was a cancer specialist and he was actually going to be awarded one, you know, trophy or a nice medal, and he was traveling. This was in United States. And somehow he had to fly, I think 6 hours flight or something. I forget the destiny where they had to go. But he misses the flight, and due to some reason, the airport authorities, they declare that, okay, now for another next 10 hours, no flights. And now from that airport, that place was only 3 hours by drive. So he decides that, okay, let me go by drive, because it was such a prestigious award that he was going to be given, and he didn't want to miss that opportunity to be honored in front of all the dignitaries, and it's a matter of pride and prestige. So he decides that, okay, he will go by a car. So he goes by a road, and suddenly the weather takes topsy-turvy. It becomes stormy, rainy, that he doesn't know where he's going, and he misses out one turn. And US, like, the roads are such that you miss out one left or right, then you would like go miles and miles ahead. And then finally, some civilization, a small place, he sees, and he decides that, okay, forget about reaching that place, but it is for my safety, let me take a shelter here tonight. It's like it sounds like a movie, but so he actually visits that lady's house, and he explains that, okay, you know, I am a doctor, this thing, and this is how things have happened with me. So is it possible for me to just take a rest overnight? It was Dr. Abraham, his name was. So that lady was kind enough to accommodate him, that, okay, you know, I can give you some bread and tea and whatever. And then he saw that this lady continuously was praying near a cradle. So in the cradle there was a baby and she was praying. So then there was a small discussion where he says that, okay, do you believe in prayers? And the lady says, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I do believe in prayers, and I know that God listens the prayers. So he was like trying to say that, you know, I believe that doing kind services is what is godly. You know, being humanity is next to godliness, something like that. He said, no, I don't believe like just sitting and praying and things like that. So then he actually, now because he saw that she is like religiously, every time she would go to that cradle and pray to the photograph. So then he said that, what you are praying? Then she revealed. She said, my son, this is my grandson, and he is suffering from such a cancer that there is only one doctor called Dr. Abraham. He has a medicine to treat him. But somehow we don't have that much money that we can go to him. So I've been praying to the Lord that please make some arrangement, you know, but make my grandson all right. And this person was shocked to his limit. He said, my God, now I believe that yes, God listens to the prayers. And this is God's desire who made such a big chaos in my life. My flight got deranged, my car couldn't reach because I had to come here and serve this child. That's what we said, that our duty, karma plus daiva. So that daiva part will always remain. That's why everything is never under our control. And that will determine the destiny. So he started becoming believer and theist. Okay?
Thank you, Matji, for your wonderful presentation. Our heartfelt gratitude to you, Matji. Can we all say thank you in our traditional style by loudly chanting 3 times? Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
Thank you all very much for a patient hearing. And I hope that it helps to all of us. And we come enthusiastically for the next Chetna festival.
Yes. First of all, for the new girls, all those girls who have come for the very first time, can you all please stand at your